Blog Talk Radio. Mary D. Oz. Human Complex Organization Demand More Paroles. June 26, 2015. And we are so blessed to have Mary D. Oz and Human Complex Organization on the line to speak to you now. Hello, Mary D. Oz.
Hi, Mary. God bless you.
God bless you. Listen, I am so sorry we're getting a late start. I was talking to a sister on the phone about her victory. Her brother, who's seriously mentally ill, was incarcerated most of his life. He's only been out of jail for 3 years since he was 12 years old because he had schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. He was incarcerated as a 12-year-old. They kept him until he was 15. He got out 1 year. He went back to jail at 16, and he stayed 17 years. He got out and stayed, I think, a year or two, and then he went back to jail, and this time he's been there 3 years. And he went to jail. He went to court for his appeal today, and the Father God delivered him the victory so completely that they didn't even need the appeal hearing. The case was dismissed, and this brother is going home with his sisters, and we just give God all the glory and praise. That is why I wasn't online yesterday. She and I were working out her case, and we were discussing all the points, and I just want to thank all the decision makers who decided in that family's favor. I know that my little phone gremlins took them the conversation, and they made some decisions maybe even before we talked, and they decided that they would release this man because he does not belong behind bars. So I thank you for doing that, decision makers, and I want to turn it over now to Mary Diaz and Human Conflicts Organization to talk about some more people who do not belong behind bars. And they include people who did do the crime, but they've been rehabilitated now. Is that right, Mary?
Yes, Mary. We continue our fight against the Florida Parole Commission and not releasing people like they're supposed to be. As so far this year, we've only gotten 13 releases, and we're in the month of June already. But I guess, you know, unless the families, the doctor and I were talking today, speak up for their loved ones, we're having problems with them not cooperating, calling into the show, calling into TV programs that he does, radio programs, and we're still getting hundreds of letters every week from these men and women asking for help, but their family has to also help because the organization, you know, has all their efforts in trying to get them released, but we just can't go to the parole commission and tell them, oh, there's two of us here and we want these people released. I think there's power in the numbers and in being united, and that's what these families, that some of them do listen to your program, but they still don't communicate with the organization. We're doing it for their loved ones, even though they're not cooperating. We're doing it for those forgotten that have no family that could call or speak up or write a letter. And Dr. Alwad is very busy visiting politicians, preparing speeches for radio programs to ask for more releases in the state of Florida, and we're trying to see if this year it could be increased. But today's program he wanted to share, because he's been working on Nico, Heather's son's case, with some psychiatrists and psychologists that he knows, and it's interesting. I emailed you, and I don't know if you got it, what he wants to discuss today, an article that we received from New York, which is called Mental Illness and Slow Death by Solitary Confinement. When we read this article that was sent to us today, it broke our heart to read the story of Caleb Broward and how he passed away after being incarcerated and being in solitary confinement. And he was a mentally ill child at an early age. After he got out of prison, so I could briefly just tell you the story, it said here in the article that no family shall endure this, should endure this. He hanged himself outside the family home a few months after he was released from prison. But since he went into the prison system in New York at an atrocious prison, which if anybody knows the state of New York, Rikers Prison, that's where this young man was sentenced at the age of 16 for a robbery. He didn't come out after the age of 21. He tried to get his life back together, but there was so much mental damage already done that he committed suicide by hanging himself outside his home. His mother spoke up, and before his death, he did speak several times to the media and share what he suffered inside solitary confinement. He tried to commit suicide by hanging himself one day while in solitary confinement. And the story says that they took him to the clinic, they checked him out, and then sent him back to solitary confinement. That was all that was done for him. And, you know, what the doctor is saying is, you know, this is slow torture. We talk about 90 miles away, Guantanamo base, where we had all these terrorists in the prison system there, and that we were torturing them. But we're 90 miles away in Miami, and in Florida, we're torturing these children because they're going in like Nico, 18 years old, 19 years old, 20 years old, and they're still children because mentally they haven't grown up. Christopher Hammond's son, Rodriguez, is another one. Mentally, they're not men. They're children still mentally, and they're being tortured. And we criticize what's been done in Guantanamo Base in Cuba by the military of the United States against terrorists. But they don't speak about what's happening in our Florida prison which is a 90-mile drive. Well, we're torturing these kids that shouldn't be there. They should be like that doctor that was on your program last week. They should be in a transition program, being helped out. They could function in society if they're treated in time with medication. Dr. Aloha was explaining to me earlier today a comment that Heather made on Facebook that Nico was complaining and she was seeing that his fingers are like if he had fractured them or something. And the doctor tells me that he's read Nico's case and other cases similar. And some of these medications make those joints get like that. That it looks like they broke your fingers, but it's not that they broke them. It's the medication they're taking. And they're not getting enough therapy for them not to suffer the pain. It's like cramping in their fingers. And when I hear that, it breaks my heart to think that we're in a society, in a country so powerful that we send people to the moon and to undersea and explore undersea and let's build a city undersea. And we can't take care of these children that are the future of our country. We're bringing them out all handicapped. To me, that's like these children were born handicapped because they haven't had an opportunity to be treated like they should be. I was watching a special on TV the other night about a dog, and I love pets and I have dogs of my own, that his nose was taped up so he couldn't open it up to bark or to eat. That was the kind of abuse that was being done on him. But don't we see... I never seen on television, I don't know if you have, but I've never seen on television the abuse that's done to these children in prison that have mental illness. I've never seen program after program about, you know, children that are being abused mentally inside the prison system that are going to come out one day and they're going to be so messed up that they're going to be able to function in society. I don't know if you had time to read this, but I want your opinion on this article. Hello?
Hey, Mary.
I'm good. Did you hear me, Mary? Did you have time to read the article?
Mary, you know how my house is in the afternoon. The children are so loud that I have to turn my speaker off so that I listen, but you can't hear these kids playing. And it seems that when parents get on the phone, I don't know what it is about the phone. You're talking to somebody other than them, and they just go wild. You know how they do. And so I turn my speaker off, and sometimes it takes a few minutes for me to get it back on. But I'm listening to you, and I understand what you were saying about the young man who had been so damaged in solitary confinement that even though he had been released, he yet committed suicide. Now, let me ask you, was he having a rough time with the transition back to normal society?
Yes, that's what the article says here, that even though he tried, he could not adapt.
He could not adapt. The thing is,
he went in very young, at the age of 16, Mary. He was very young when he was sent to prison.
Yes, yes. You know, some people are strong enough at 16 to live through it, because I've talked to a number of people who were young when they went in prison and got put in solitary. But so many people, whether they're 16 or 60, they just can't cope with that. And we know that the Bible says it is not good for man to live alone. So, you know, these people are not only defying human rights, but they defy God the Father when they put people in a circumstance that God has said is not good. It's not good for the individual who has to undergo solitary confinement, and they know it. And it's not good for society to release someone back into society who is volatile. They've not been helped. They've not been given treatment and therapy. They've been in a very untherapeutic environment. They've been left alone with their hallucinations. many people go mentally ill even if they were sound-minded at first. So I can imagine what it has done to so many people. You know, I've talked to many strong people, and I want everybody to look up an article I published at Dog Justice for Mentally Ill blog. I interviewed a woman who is absolutely astounding in her strength. Her name is Brenda Anderson. She's my Facebook friend. She was in solitary confinement in a Texas women's prison for so long, years. And she said, she talked about how bare that prison cell was. And she even was hurt by the guards because they beat her. And the place where they broke her skin, it set up a bad thing going on inside of her. She needed some kind of surgery. And they took her to the infirmary after she suffered for a long time. And when she got to the infirmary, the doctor cut her open and started operating on her without any anesthesia. Yes, cruelty. And she was screaming, and she's a strong woman, I imagine. She was trying to get away from the doctor, and the doctor said, take her back to her cell. She'll be back. And they took her back to her cell with an operation started on her abdomen without even completing the operation. And she suffered, and she noticed that her operation point was setting up gangrene, it looked like. And it was infected, and she knew that it would kill her if she did not go through with that surgery. And they took her back to the doctor after, I don't know how long she was back in her cell. It seems like it may have been over a week. And she went back to the operation, and the man actually did that operation on this black woman with no anesthesia. He stuck his hands in her stomach and was doing things. I think that they had left something in her during a previous operation, you see. And he had to go in and get it. It was setting up infection. And she had to take that operation with no anesthesia just for low downness sake. Or they may have been trying to save money. But she lived. Brenda Anderson lived. And she's still living. And she talked to us on the radio one day about her very cruel and painful time in solitary confinement. And one reason they were so evil to her is because she was outspoken for prisoners' rights. And one day, thank God, the feds came into that prison and they directed the prison officials to move Brenda Anderson to the area with the rest of the women. And so she was relieved of that. I think she was still in solitary confinement, but at first they had her like in the men's section of solitary confinement or something. They do all kinds of evil things. It's not limited to men. It's not limited to black people. It's not limited to Hispanics or anything else. The thing is that all of our prisoners deserve respect for their human and civil rights. You know, all lives matter. And that's all we're saying to the Florida Board of Pardons and Paroles and to all the Boards of Pardons and Paroles throughout the nation. We're saying to you, all lives matter. Even President Obama said during his last State of the Union address, every life matters. And I remember that he specifically mentioned the mentally ill in his State of the Union address. I want to say to you, Mary Diaz and Dr. A, that we got word from DJ JP yesterday that U.S. Congress has appropriated $15 million for AOT programs. That means that many people who have been denied the opportunity to have subsistence assistance, food and housing, plus mandated psychiatric treatment after they get out of jail or a mental hospital, they will be given a program, Laura's Law or Kendra's Law or whatever, and they will then be given subsistence assistance, that's food and housing, and also mandated psychiatric treatment. And the reason it needs to be mandated by the court is because so many people with mental illness are just like people who have high blood pressure. As they begin to feel better, they begin to come off their medicine. They don't realize that they feel better because they're on their medicine. And when they come off of it, then they go into psychiatric crisis and the whole cycle starts up again. But most of them will cooperate as long as it's a part of their probation or parole or their hospital release. So we beg all officials in Florida, Georgia, other states throughout the nation to please, I have not read the article yet. I don't know how you qualify for part of the $15 million for AOT programs, but we need them in every state. I ask you to also urge your congresspeople to stand with Timothy Murphy. And you know, I almost said Brother Timothy Murphy. Oh, thank God for Representative Timothy Murphy and also Representative Ms. Bernice Johnson. That's Edie Bernice Johnson. She's a Democrat from Texas. They have a bill before U.S. Congress right now, and it's called the Helping Families in Mental Health Crisis Act. The new numbers for that bill are H.R. 2646. Please urge your congresspeople to get on board. Let them know that if mentally ill people are shot by their police officers in the street, if mentally ill people are going to jail when they should be going to treatment in their area, and they did not stand up for that bill and help co-sponsor it, then we are going to blame them for every death and every suicide. And not only will we blame them, but God the Father has got their number too. He will blame them. Because God has said to us to care about the bodies of our prisoners as though they're our own. We should feel the pain of prisoners who are tortured as though it's our own body and not just theirs. God has told us to be careful how we treat prisoners. And so we have before us an opportunity to have more AOT programs and also have CIT programs, that's Crisis Intervention Team Training, for our police officers and prison guards so they will understand better what mental illness is and how to address a situation with mentally ill people without deadly force and without being hurt themselves. That's something you have to learn. And so often we hear that police had not received training in dealing with mental illness, and that's why this young man was killed. That's why this woman was killed. How long will we use that excuse when we have many wonderful psychiatrists like Dr. Seeger who are willing to teach classes in that? We have many others like Dr. Early Williams who are willing to teach classes in CIT training. They're both one is a psychiatrist, one is a psychologist, and many more. So why would we continue to kill mentally ill people on our streets and behind bars and forever say, oh, that officer had not been trained in how to deal with a mentally ill person? I thank God for you, Mary. I see that your call has dropped. please call back. You have a caller on the line at 4853. 4853, it's your turn.
Mary?
Yes.
It's me. The other phone dropped. Dr. Arlo wants to make a comment on the article
wonderful.
That I
I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Yes.
Hold on.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, doctor. Thank you so much, doctor.
We are happy to stay with you and how important is your radio program to inform people what really is happening. Our organization, Conflict of
Doctor,
Human
could I say
Center.
Something to you? Doctor, I want you
yes.
to know how very happy I was for Mary and you to be listening when Dr. Seeger was on the air the other day, and I understand that he's coming to Florida. He plans to be in Florida to meet you, and that's just marvelous. And Dr. Seeger is such a marvelous man. You know he's doing a movie with families of mentally ill people, and I am so very excited over the idea that y'all met here at Human Rights Demand. And so I thank God for you, Doctor. You're doing such marvelous work. You know, God has a, listen, you got a cushioned seat in heaven. I mean, boy, you got so many jewels on your crown because you're doing marvelous work for the people. And a lot of people say that they love God, but he said that you love me by how you treat one another. And so I just want to let you know how much I appreciate you taking time out to start your organization, Human Conflicts Organization, and you preside over it. You're on radio and television. You have, it looks like, over 4,000 friends at Facebook. You answer all of these letters and try to help families. And Mary says that the families do not call in as much as they should. They do not stand up and speak for themselves as much as they should. And we understand that, but at the same time, we urge their cooperation. Unless we overcome fear and stand up together, nothing will happen. And so I thank you, Doctor. Go right ahead and speak.
Thank you. I think God used your radio program to connect Dr. Siegel, to connect all the organization, connect all the people that are sensitive to this cause. I think you are the master in this, and we appreciate a lot because you help us to share our work with all people that are sensitive, that are interested in this cause. Related to Dr. Seeger, I have been in contact with him and our organization, and Mary is part of what is our organization. We are not two different entities. We are one entity that work 24 hours together, inform people, work with Family Parole, work with the community, work with juvenile that need assistance, connect the juvenile with different programs to do something at the same time. I talked with Dr. Seeger and I offered him, our organization and Mary, to invite him here to do a fundraising, to do an event for help him in everything, because it's very important, his experience, his help to this cause, and we are put together in one way to fight with this problem, biggest problem. Related to the confine, we study a lot of. We study all the information, all the scientific proof, and everything is clear. Confinement is not a solution, not only for mental health, for other adults. Also, long-term confinement for all inmates is dangerous. for mental illness, any, they don't have to be one day even in confinement. What the problem is that Department of Correction, sometimes they say that the mental illness don't go to the confinement of the Department of Correction, but the unit of mental illness have a unit, have a confinement, that you can understand that. But the confinement in both ways, in unit of mental illness or unit for the Department of Correction, is the same. That is, one depends to the mental illness unit, and the other confinement depends directly to the population, open population. But that is the reality. This guy, for example, Cali's brother, was 3 years waiting for go to trial. He was innocent, and he stayed 3 years in confinement of unit residential, or with unit of the Department of Correction. What happened? It's simple. Nico, 15 days later, to be incarcerated, went to the confinement. It's normal. Christopher, the same way, schizophrenic, before trial. And what happened? Some days later, go to the confinement, and there are a lot of Nico, there are a lot of Christopher, there are a lot of Riley. That what this case is very important, because our organization, you and Dr. Seeger, will know more Caliph, because he hanged himself. For example, if Nico continue in confinement, or Christopher continue in confinement, go directly and they continue in confinement, when they go out, is at the risk of hanging himself. That is the problem. The thing before, you know, you can, they don't work with that. And the problem is no more Caliph in our country. Is a democratic, is example for human rights in the world, you know. And that is the point that you have to work. It's clear that no different state treat the problem in different ways. But Florida and Arizona is the worst, because here is like animal. They treat the mental illness like an animal person. On the other hand, we propose that we're talking about the consideration or personal opinion about Nico and Christopher Rodriguez, that before go to trial, that is a requirement that we work very hard, and we work to the all the commissioner, all the senator, all the representatives, to let him know or let them know that is not the way. When a mental illness go to trial, has to be evaluation legally for 3 different psychiatrists before trial, because it's not the same way. It's normally every mental illness is aggression, addiction, have a problem in addiction, medication, drug, but it's the mental illness, inner mental illness. They go to trial and has to be evaluated. And then when they go sentenced and go to the jail, before go to the open population, has to be prepared, sterilized with a unit that the performance unit, but in this unit without confinement, because it's contradictory, have a mental illness and at the same time put the mental illness in a special solitary that they don't say is confinement. That is inhuman being. That is our point. I think we work very hard. We do some letter for about Nico and Christopher. We fight with that, and we waiting for 2 different psychiatrists that give me the favor to review the record and add the proposal that we are doing, like a psychology, for the other psychiatry doctor that maybe are waiting for the answer to mail a letter to all these representatives, all these senators, and go to the assistant of government, Reed Scott, especially for this case. But there are a lot of more we don't know, but I am sure there are a lot of Nico, there are a lot of Christopher, and there are, we have to work very hard on this, our job. Now we work, have information, have different study, like this guy, mental illness and slow death by solitary. This is the reality. This is the answer that is happening in the United States. That is, I like to share with you, and we are here. We think, for example, we have some information that 9,000 inmates are in the Cook County of Chicago, and they are 2,500 diagnosed with mental illness. But this mental illness, before go to the population, to go to the society, they receive a transitional program that is include group of psychotherapy, individual psychotherapy. We propose behavior therapy, cognitive therapy, and art therapy. People doesn't know the power of art therapy for inmate, for everybody, for mental illness. Art therapy is a reality. Help them, their express feeling, anger, and even in this good county of Chicago, transitional center, they do for with inmate dance therapy. That is incredible. Why the other states don't? How, cannot copy the same way, but not only before go in jail, it's not before go to the open population also. It's two different things. When they go out to the society, is do this program that we like to know, we like organize this program. We write the program, we have maybe in 15 days you will see everything, our proposal, our 2 year work in is our proposal with parole, with reform in prison and mental health interest. In 15 days we have ready the website that we work 2 years in this website, writing with information, story, and this is the reality. That we like the organization, put the program before go to the society and when they are sentenced, before placed in open population for the mental illness, juvenile mental illness. That is our proposal. I don't know if you can add something to that, but we are working very hard. We are very clear with the concept that we are to put in practice, and we work very, very hard. Mary Dia and me are the only person, because sometimes Brian also helped to us, a lot of people helped to us to prepare and to write the proposal. But I think in 15 days, everybody in your program has the website of our organization. In this website, everybody can go have to access to this website that you will be in. Also, we like to put in all space of the library in jail in Florida a newsletter that explains then. That happened, that we do, because sometimes parole asked us what we are doing. The family don't collaborate really, because I visited senator, representative, and I have to visit 20 pastor or reverend that support our proposal, because if you go alone to the government with one organization, it's not enough. You know, I try to visit one and many. We visit the pastor, the church, everybody that can help a proposal. we to see the proposal. Look, that is what we're looking for, the inmate to reform to in prison, and that is we propose for parole. For example, in parole, example, the law says that the first degree murder has right to parole, but the second degree murder doesn't have right. It is inhuman. Also, there are a lot of people that any kill someone, then that only robber, they don't hit anybody, and they don't have right because they're going to parole. The parole is laughing. Parole say, tell them come in 7 years. Also, there are two different person commissioners that decide about 4,250 parole that the person that accomplish eligible, and they are two only people. They have to write off the two or go to the five because the Department of Correction at this time know better than me, the parole commission, and never talk. For example, in other state, when the day of the judgment or the trial, the parole has a screen when the inmate has the right to express, to say at least I did all the curse and there are two times I go to parole, they don't have right to do anything.
No present.
No present. At least have to be present. It's another thing that we are fighting for that. I think little by little we are clear first that we are doing, and we need the support, or like you do, you are very support for us because the only help that we really have every Friday with you. We appreciate your effort, and you are our mentor. Thank you,
well, Lord. Thank you, Doctor. Doctor, since we don't have so many callers today, I wondered, would you take a few moments and relay your message from Human Rights Organization to the Spanish community. And please share this tape with them so that they can rejoice with us over the fact that Congress has appropriated $15 million for AOT programs, and tell them what that means, that more people will have subsistence assistance, housing and food, and mandated treatment. Would you let the Spanish people know that now, please?
Sí, mire, Héctor, estamos hablando de un programa de radio dirigido por la maravillosa persona Mary Neil. Ella cubre su programa por ella sola y nos ha ayudado mucho. Nosotros somos una organización Conflictos Humanos, Human Conflict, de Derechos Humanos. Esta organización se dedica a ayudar a la comunidad. Somos prácticamente un grupo voluntario, pero trabajamos un servidor, doctor Armando Aluar. Yo soy psicólogo, graduado de la Universidad de la Sorbona en París y en Miami, en la Universidad de Miami en Addiction. Nosotros personalmente y Mary Díaz, que es la otra persona que estamos al frente de esta organización, aparte que tenemos un board con un abogado, un reverendo y un pastor, o sea, estamos muy bien organizados. Vamos a poner nuestro website pronto en 15 días donde ustedes van a tener acceso. Lo vamos a poner en inglés y más tarde en español, se va a tener las dos lenguas para que vea. Nosotros prácticamente estamos trabajando en tres frentes. Uno, la comisión de parol. Muchos hispanos nos han escrito de la cárcel dándonos los datos del nombre, de la fecha de nacimiento, de el número de presos, que es importante, la cárcel donde están, y después contarnos los cursos que ellos han hecho y las veces que han ido parol. La dirección para mandar una carta es Conflictos Humanos, atención, doctor Aluar, presidente, o Conflictos Humanos, no importa, es 1545 Southwest Primera Street 33 135.
la suite número 301. Si quieren escribirnos con cualquier orientación o cualquier inquietud de algún familiar que tengan en Parol, nos pueden escribir mandándonos los datos y que él nos haga una carta a esa dirección, Conflictos Humanos. La dirección es 1545 Southwest Primera Street, Miami, Florida 33135. Nosotros estamos tratando, es un trabajo largo, tedioso, porque no tenemos recursos ninguno. Esto lo hacemos con los medios de nosotros personales, las cartas, los sellos, todo lo que hacemos. Si algún día quieren mandar una donación, sería valioso para nosotros, pero no están obligados. Nosotros esto lo hacemos de corazón y estamos haciéndolo con las personas que quieren ayudarnos. Hemos tenido una gran ayuda publicitaria de Mary Neal. Gracias a ella llegamos a ustedes en su programa. No dejen de oírlo los viernes de 3 a 5 y media a 6. Y siempre voy a hablarles un poquito en español para que sea. Nosotros estamos pidiéndole al Parol que haga un llamado a tratar de resolver el problema tan grande que de 4,550 solo soltaron 24. Ustedes, los familiares, se vuelven locos y dicen, bueno, ¿por qué pasa? Nosotros estamos igual. El Parol es una comisión muy fuerte y demora tiempo, sacrificio. Estamos sensibilizando a los políticos. Yo fui a Tallahassee, hablé con dos senadores, Díaz de la Portilla y Rodríguez, representante. Estamos conectados con algunos senadores. Vamos a visitar una serie de pastores, iglesias, para que nos den cartas pidiendo dos cosas: que se regularice el sistema de Parol y deje de ser un abuso. O sea, que el preso va, no cumple con los requisitos, puede y lo citan a los 7 años, antes era los 2 años. La comisión de Parol está por 2 personas que hacen lo que le da la gana. Estamos pidiendo que lo lleven a 5 para que se haga un poco más de justicia. Estamos pidiendo que las personas que tienen second degree murder, o sea, que están por segundo grado de criminalidad, les den la oportunidad de Parol que les dieron a los que tienen el primer grado de muerte en primer grado. Así que el de primer grado tiene derecho a Parol, el de segundo no tiene. Esas son las cosas que estamos pidiéndole a Parol, y que ustedes tengan, que los presos tengan una representación presente a través de un screen, de una pantalla, que ellos al menos puedan agregar sus sentimientos, puedan expresarse y puedan defenderse, porque no todos tienen el dinero de buscarlo para pagar un abogado que los defienda. Así que gracias por la atención, no dejen de conectar el programa y vamos a tener siempre un mensajito en español para ustedes. Aquí de nuevo les mando un abrazo, doctora Loar, y de parte de Mary Díaz, que es la otra persona que estamos los dos codo a codo trabajando en esta empresa, que parece que no hemos hecho mucho para algunos familiares o para los presos, pero es un trabajo corto, despacio, y además no tenemos recursos, porque si no ya hubiéramos movido, hubiéramos podido visitar y haber ido a Tallahassee, pero estamos en ese proceso. Así que un abrazo para todos ustedes. Ok, Mary Neal.
Mary?
Okay, doctor. That was the psychologist who's the president of the Human Complex Organization, and Mary Diaz and Dr. A of the Human Complex Organization demand more paroles. More paroles. We make this human rights demand on Human Rights Demand Channel every Friday afternoon. We're supposed to be on air at 3 o'clock, but if we're not, please check the schedule, because sometimes we run late, and I apologize for that, but we'll be on air every Friday afternoon at around 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is a time when we make a demand for more paroles. You know, Frederick Douglass, who was a great slavery abolitionist, of the 1800s said, power concedes nothing without a demand. It never has, and it never will. So therefore, we make a demand for more pardons and more paroles. It seems that Mary Diaz's phone dropped again, and Dr. A has talked to you in both English and Spanish, and we are so glad for Hispanic people stepping forward, stepping up for your rights, because our Spanish people are being incarcerated. Some of them for no more than issues having to do with citizenship, but others are being charged with crimes. Every day, people are released from jails and prisons, and they need second chance opportunities. We need good recidivism programs to help make the transition smooth for our released prisoners. We need lawyers to join human conflicts organizations and put forward appeals for people who need appeals. We need you to give back. Give back. You'll feel great. You will feel great. And you know, you will earn mercy for yourself by having mercy on others. Remember that. You know, that shouldn't be why you do it, but God does take note of us when we have mercy on others. Mary Diaz and Human Conflicts Organization have come to you with the need for attorneys who are willing to work with them pro bono and sponsor individuals for appeal. We want you, attorneys. We need you. And we have an elderly population in prison, people who were sentenced for life, and they're being made to serve life. So many inmates are over 80 years old. And I even read about one man who was brain dead, and he was yet being punished, even though he didn't even know anymore that he was being punished. Your tax money was being wasted to keep him behind bars, even though he was brain dead and his family was begging for compassionate release, so his grandchildren, his children, would get a chance to touch him while his flesh was still warm. They get a chance to kiss Grandpapa while he yet lived, even though he was brain dead. What glory is there in denying a family the opportunity to hold a limp hand? That was the state of California that refused to release a brain dead prisoner so that his family could see him once more outside of a casket. Have mercy, prison investors. Have mercy on your fellow countrymen and visitors to this country who are in prison now. Have mercy, and you will inherit mercy. I want to thank you all for coming to the Mary Diaz and Human Conflicts Organization show this Friday, June 26, 2015. I ask you to look at my latest article at the blog Human Rights for Prisoners March. The article is called Small Victories, because we've had numerous small victories. God said, despise not the day of small beginnings. So we give a big thank you and a big e-hug and kiss to our Congress for appropriating $15 million to AOT programs. Again, we thank Representative Tim Murphy and Representative Edie Bernice Johnson for sponsoring H.R. 2646. We thank all of you who I know are going to look up that bill, H.R. 2646, Helping Families in Mental Health Crisis Act. Look up that bill and write your congressperson about it. Ask them to sponsor it. Tell them that if they don't sponsor it, then we are going to expose them as prison investors or as people who are taking kickbacks from private prison companies. And the next person who's mentally ill and who's killed by police in their state, or they're killed behind bars, or even injured in their state, they will be exposed. We're online to expose and oppose oppression. Don't be scared. Come on. Next Friday, call in. And you know why you're calling? Because you're calling to stand up for your rights and the rights of prisoners. All lives matter. We're just saying that if people are in jail, they deserve rehabilitation. And after they've been rehabilitated, they deserve a second chance after rehabilitation. As simple as that. We're just saying, treat others as you want to be treated. That's what Jesus Christ said. God loves justice, and you know Mary loves justice too. Here's a Spanish man singing the Song of Freedom.
Won't you help to save me?